about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our phone guest in just a few moments, but we invite you to look with us in the Word of God, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. A familiar psalm, but a powerful psalm that reminds us of the importance of being a student of God's Word. Psalm 1, starting at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Verses 1 through 6, Psalm 1. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the many ways that your word blesses us, empowers us, guides us, strengthens us, and counsels us. Empower us, Lord, more and more to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. And help us to be faithful not only to read and meditate on your word daily, but help us to live the life of faithful disciples who are continually teaching and encouraging our loved ones, associates, co-workers, and others all over the place to do the same thing, to become students, faithful students of your word. Thank you for the gift, the many ways your word blesses us and encourages us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you listening in. And grateful to have with us in studio today, Victoria McIntosh. Praise the Lord, she's with us. And we'll be co-hosting today. I want to remind you once again, for all of our listeners, want to encourage you to make it your goal to go on our Facebook page, Hour of Intercession, and like it, and Hour of Intercession Live as well. And if you'd like to watch by way of Facebook, go to Hour of Intercession Live. But also, I want to remind you that we do have free mobile apps for our iPhone and Android devices. All you have to do is go to the App Store and search for Urban Family Talk, and it's with the app, you can take Urban basically wherever you might be going. Again, obviously, if you're not in the listening range of any of our stations, you certainly can take us wherever you go, whether you're traveling in Mississippi or Louisiana or California or New York or France, wherever you might be, take the app with you. Hope you'll take the time to do that. Also invite you to go to our website, urbanfamilytalk.com, and check out some of the articles there and just some of the other great features we have there. And go and subscribe as well, if you would. But as always, we appreciate you listening in and being a part of our listening family here on Urban Family Talk. And as we start off again, our today's guest, we're privileged to have as our guest, by way of phone, Pastor Jay Augustine. And Pastor Augustine is the pastor of St. James AME Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. Pastor Augustine, how are you today?
Hey, doing well, Pastor Parker. It's a pleasure to be with you, and thank you so much for having me today. Oh,
good to have you on, and again, as I mentioned a moment ago, our co-host today is Victoria McIntosh. She's in studio with us, so
hey,
she'll be probably shooting a few important and very intellectual questions your way as well. So,
all right, sounds good. It's a pleasure to be with you both.
All right, and would mention to our listeners, Pastor Augustine and I have the privilege of being co-pastors in the denomination known as the African Methodist Episcopal Church. He serves a church in New Orleans, Louisiana. We both served St. James congregations. His just happens to be in New Orleans, and I'm in Leland, Mississippi. So, Pastor Augustine, as we start off, again, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. You're a pastor and an attorney, amongst other things, and so it's not like you're sitting around trying to think up things to do.
This is true. This is very true.
Especially during the Christmas season. So as we start off,
it's been a joy season the last few weeks of Advent. Mm-hmm. This is a special time of year, obviously, as we all joyfully prepare for the blessing of Jesus' arrival. So the church has been very, very busy, and there's a lot going on. But it's so important to be here, and I'm so honored to have the opportunity to be with you.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And as we start off, I'm going to basically turn it over to you. I want you to just further introduce yourself to our listeners and just share your story, share your testimony of the journey the Lord has had you on and as he's brought you to the place where today as a preacher of the gospel and an attorney— and a Christian who loves the Lord and is serving God in a unique metropolitan area in our nation.
Absolutely so, and I thank you for the invitation to do so. I consider myself to be very blessed. There's a such thing as to have been called by God. As you mentioned, we both serve in pastoral ministry, so obviously we both were called. I feel doubly blessed because I was called twice. So I affectionately use the term bivocational.
Mm-hmm.
The first calling for me was to law practice. I was blessed as a graduate of Howard University and an Army ROTC graduate. I had a pretty budding career as a young Army officer, but I felt a need and a calling to engage in social justice and to do so as an attorney so I could serve the least of these, as they say that. What you're doing to the least of these, I've also done unto me. So I enjoyed a pretty good career as a lawyer. I went to Tulane University Law School in New Orleans, and quite frankly, I was a little bit unhappy with some of the decisions I made, or maybe I should say with some of the professional success I experienced. I was blessed to do well in school. I was blessed to work after a clerkship at the Louisiana Supreme Court and with some pretty big law firms to do well financially, but I felt tremendously empty spiritually. I felt as though I was not living up to the potential that God had given me or doing what I should be doing to more or less glorify God's name. So the second calling was to that of ordained ministry, and a calling to preach is also in my experience, at least, it was a calling to prepare. So that was a calling to divinity studies at United Theological Seminary up in Dayton, Ohio, where I earned a Master Divinity degree. So mm-hmm. with those, I have been actively engaged in pastoral ministry. I still do some legal work, and I also have served for the last 10 years as an adjunct law faculty member at a Southern University Law Center in Baton Rouge.
Okay, so you were an attorney years before you entered the ministry then?
Absolutely so, yeah. I was admitted to the Louisiana State Bar Association in 2001, shortly after I graduated from Tulane Law School, and I did not accept the calling to ministry probably until about 2005, I think, is when the call initially came. And I tried not to answer the phone until 2006 or 2007. So mm-hmm. it took me some time wrestling in.
Mm. Okay. That's such a common story amongst us preachers these days. So,
mm-hmm.
But thank the Lord that you answered the call. Amen.
Amen. I thank him for continuing the call. I'm so glad he didn't hang up on me. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. And so, and you pastor in the city of New Orleans, and if I'm remembering correctly, Pastor Augustine, you were there, you were pastoring in and living in New Orleans at the time when Katrina hit, is that correct?
Yeah, it was, I was not yet pastoring when Katrina hit. That is at the time I was really wrestling with the calling to ministry,
mm-hmm.
But I was living back and forth between New Orleans and Baton Rouge with a law practice, and my childhood home was completely compromised as a result of the storm. I experienced some personal difficulties that I think are an inspiration. I would hope at least would be an inspiration for others, because what God did through me in terms of increasing my faith and bringing me closer to Him through humility, I think God is doing with others if they're just willing to look at the glass as half full instead of half empty. So my law practice was tremendously compromised as a result of Katrina. Therefore, I probably had more lint in my pockets than change.
Mm-hmm.
My childhood home was completely compromised. I went through a very painful personal situation, and the Lord had me flat on my back, where the only way I could look was up.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank God that He was able to stand there for me and extend a wonderful arm that helped me up on my feet, and to realize the greater good that I could do for Him and for others by accepting the calling to ordained ministry.
Okay, then. And so you continue to, you both pastor and do your law practice. Both of those are in the city, well, between New Orleans and Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct, yes. I initially began in pastoral ministry serving in a community called Hammond, Louisiana, which is about 45 minutes or so outside of Baton Rouge, and pastored there. I was then assigned to another church in New Orleans and pastored there for a few years, and then was subsequently assigned a couple of years ago now to the church I currently serve, Historic St. James AME Church, which I'm very proud of the honor and distinction. It is the birthplace of our denomination in the Deep South. The church's roots go back to 1844 with its initial establishment there in New Orleans.
Okay. Okay, then. Well, Pastor Augustine, and also Jade, feel free to jump in anytime you need to. Jade, Victory, whichever.
I go by both. Well, I had a question, Pastor Jay. When you going to write your book? Just by this little bit that you've told us so far, I'm like, whoa, you definitely, it's very evident that you have a testimony to tell. Has the Lord placed that on your heart, or are you not answering that call?
Has the Lord placed what on my heart now?
To write a book, or are you choosing not to answer that call as well? Or?
How very funny you ask. In 2014, I was blessed to have published my first book, the title of which is, and it really ties into law and religion, my focal points, my research interests, and so forth. So I'm so glad that you asked that. The name of the book is The Keys Are Being Passed, Race, Law, Religion, and the Legacy of the Civil Rights Movement.
Whoa.
So the book obviously was written 50 years after, to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Movement. That reference to the keys being passed is from the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus tells Peter, "You are the rock upon which I will build my church, and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." My argument, the intellectual argument, if you will, is that Matthew is the Jewish gospel. It's the gospel I call of history, legacy, and all things past. Mm-hmm. So Jesus gives Peter a key to history and a key to legacy, but he also gives Peter a commission to build the church, so he gives him the key of responsibility. The parallel is that I believe the leaders of the civil rights movement have done the same thing with my generation or our generation in giving us a key of history and legacy, but also a key of responsibility in this day and age, too. So the book is in three parts, voting rights, environmental justice, and education reform. And I think all of those really tie in together my research and interdisciplinary interests, where law and religion intersect to bring about social change and human good.
Okay, give us the title of the book one more time, Pastor Augustine.
It's pretty long, Pastor. It's pretty long.
Absolutely, absolutely. The Keys Are Being Passed, : Race, Law, Religion, and the Legacy of the Civil Rights Movement. The Keys Are Being Passed, Race, Law, Religion, and the Legacy of the Civil Rights Movement. And if you don't mind, I can share, the book is available at Barnes & Noble retailers. It's available through Amazon.com and iTunes for download. But more information about the book, as well as more information about me, is available on my website, which is www.jayaugustine.com. And again, that's jayaugustine.com.
Okay. Thank you, then. We're coming up on a break in just a few moments, but I want to take a moment just to pray for you and the work you've called to, and we'll pick up on the other side of the break. Father, we thank you for Pastor Augustine. Thank you for the work and the callings you have upon his life, both in the pastoral ministry and in the legal field as well. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you raise up people in so many different areas to build your kingdom and to bring the love and the grace of God to bear upon so many different aspects of our society. Lord, I pray that you'd move upon the heart of every single listener to grow in the understanding of the fact that all of us are called to shed your light into the areas where you've placed us in places of influence. Help us to be faithful, to be persons given to prayer, persons who are listening to your Holy Spirit, and persons who are shining for Jesus Christ in our areas of profession for his glory, his praise, his honor. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening, Lord, to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Pastor Jay Augustine, the pastor of St. James Church in New Orleans. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
This new season I'm in, I have the awesome privilege of speaking to teens about abstinence. One day we got on abortion, and I explained to the group of girls it's murder and how every child is a gift from God. I had a few girls to come up with every excuse why it's okay to abort. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, because He will lead you with just the right thing to say. I emphasized to the girls on counseling with a Christian advisor and the option of adoption. After class, many of the girls were interacting with me about various things that were discussed that day. One quiet girl summoned me over and whispered in my ear, "I was adopted." Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Those who confess Jesus as Lord have been adopted into the kingdom of God. For a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now I've heard that sometimes germs evolve. Is this true?
Chris, this is a common claim that some germs acquire the ability to infect certain new species, or maybe they become resistant to drugs. But this is not evolution. In fact, it's really devolution, the loss of ability or the loss of genes to accomplish a certain purpose. A recent study showed that the whooping cough bacteria lost a certain suite of genes, which caused the animal host immune system not to recognize it. Now a new animal can be infected, but is this evolution? What happens here is the loss of genes, not the gain of genes as evolution needs. What results is death, not life. While it doesn't fit the evolution view, it does fit the creation followed by the fall and the curse view, and that's the back to Genesis view.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Thanks for listening to The Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for being a part of our listening family. Our phone guest today is Pastor Jay Augustine, and he's the pastor of St. James Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. Pastor Augustine, I want to ask you this, too. And I tell you what, let me jump in and share something real quick, and we'll come right back to you. We do have a giveaway today for our listeners, and Victory is going to share a Christmas question and a Bible question. And if you are one of the first two responders by way of email or by way of text, you'll be able to get a prize, specifically a copy of the DVD, the DVD Raggedy Bible. So she's going to tell you the question, okay?
All right. This is the question. Who was the individual who was made mute in the Christmas story in the Bible? The individual who was made mute during the story of Jesus in the Christmas story.
And once again, if you'll give us the response, you can send it to my email at jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. Or you can text us at 662-321-5859. And let me say to the responders in the chat, a nickname is not going to do. I need the name, okay? I need the Bible name, okay? So give us the name. Again, to text me 662-321-5859 or at the email jparker@afa.net. The first two responders will get a copy of the DVD movie Raggedy Bibles. We'll be glad to drop it in the mail to you. And you just might get even before Christmas if you respond today. Again, our guest is Pastor Jay Augustine, the pastor of St. James Church in New Orleans. Pastor Augustine, first let me allow you to go ahead and finish any other parts of your testimony before we go further with questions. Was there anything further you wanted to share with our listeners about you and your journey as both an attorney and into the pastorate as well.
Absolutely. So my testimony more so probably has less to do with professional accomplishments or accolades and more to do with the humility that I experienced and humility that I had, I guess I should say, when experiencing the call to ministry and growing closer to God. I am very conscious that this time of year can be most difficult for so many people. I jokingly say in the pulpit that we try to rob Peter to pay Paul to keep up with the Joneses. I'm trying to keep up with the Kardashians, right? It's that time of year where we're caught up on material possessions and gifts and how extravagant this is or that tangible possession. The greatest gift that any of us could ever receive, obviously, is salvation through Jesus Christ. But I think when we think about the blessings, when I look at my life, I'm part now of a blended family. My wife and I both were divorced previously. We have two children together now, a 12-year-old daughter, a 13-year-old son, a dog. You know, we have a blended family that is happy and healthy. And as far as I'm concerned, the greatest gift I could receive is nothing under the tree. It's the love that Jesus has allowed me to experience here on earth with a
That's
mate.
Right.
And I'm sure my wife feels the same way. So on the note of prayer, I think when our listeners or when people are going through things, I think it's very important to be still, to listen, to try to discern God's voice and what God is trying to teach us in each and every situation. But I think it's also very, very important that we take a humble posture of prayer and ask God to lead us, ask God to guide us, ask God to bring us through the difficulties that we're experiencing. And if we, as the biblical expression goes, lean not into your own understanding, but lean into that in the Lord, if we truly submit to God, God will guide us to exactly where we're supposed to be. When I think about the humility that I experienced and the greatest gift, or the great gift, I should say, that came after that humility, I was doing pretty well professionally as a lawyer, as a public official. I served in publicly elected office. I can remember some of the higher-ups, muckety-mucks, the Chamber of Commerce, some other political folks and other business community people, you know, offered, hey, listen, we'll help. We'll put the financial backing necessary if you want to run for this office, run for that office, run for the third office. And I think I shocked everyone. I held a press conference and said I was going to resign from the elected office I was holding at the time. I'm going to seminary. God has called me to preach. I want to serve God's people. And people thought I was crazy.
Wow.
But it was truly something that was of the Holy Spirit. And I have never had a greater peace. I've never had a greater emotional prosperity. I may not make necessarily the money I made as a lawyer, but I can share with you, private practice in those days, but I can share with you, I hadn't missed any meals, and blessings have fallen out of the sky in places I never, ever, ever would have thought a blessing would come from. So it's all about humble submission to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. You know, Pastor Augustine, that's a very powerful way to put it, and it's very correct in that, because if you take the word humility, the entire Christian life can be characterized by that word. That's what genuine humility is. It's submitting to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and that encompasses everything we are and everything we do as disciples of Jesus Christ. So you put that beautifully, and obviously Christ is our role model. No one humbled themselves more than he did by coming to this world as the Christ, as a little baby. And if you can think about that, and again, it's so much wraps around the word, you just use humility. God became a baby that needed someone to feed him, to change his diaper, and basically see after him, and also needed a dad who would provide protection because there were people trying to kill him, even as a baby. Yet God, in his love and in his humility, did that for us.
I have a question, if I may.
Okay.
Pastor Jay, absolutely. I am a young millennial representing the young adults. And my question to you is, I love how I can tell you went after the calling that God gave you and not money. And in what ways within your church do you, or within the church as the body of Christ period, can you can you help relate that to millennials? Because nowadays, the mindset is, I want to be a millionaire when I'm by the time I'm 30. You know, it's not as far as going after what God's called us to do, because people tend to think, man, I got to make this money, instead of going after what the Lord has called us to do. Like, what do you think are some great steps that ministers could do to help the millennials?
Sure. I think the first thing is to identify what the money is. The money in our society is nothing more than a conduit. It's a mechanism or a means to achieve an end result, presumably happiness, right? I think that's people's misconception about what money is. Money is a means to achieve happiness or to obtain something that's going to be associated with happiness. If money means that if I have X amount of dollars, I can afford to buy a Mercedes opposed to buying a Ford. I'm just using that just to be generic.
Don't get no Ford, y'all. I've experienced it.
Okay. if money means it's a means to obtain a larger house, a more expensive car, a suit with a higher thread count. I don't know. Whatever you want to say, money is a means to an end, but the end is happiness. Mm. If you redefine the means, it's easier to find happiness. And if the means that you're using to get to happiness is a relationship with God and being in true fellowship with others, mm-hmm. money is absolutely immaterial, because God will provide for all of your needs and then some. Mm-hmm. I have been blessed. Again, I have not missed a beat since leaving the lucrative law practice. I have not missed a beat in terms of creature comforts, but I've only prospered in terms of happiness and the contentment that's in my heart and the family because of that submission. And going back to Pastor Parker's emphasis of my term of earlier, humility and following the call of the Lord. So to the millennials, I totally understand society, fake it till you make it. You know, I get all that. I absolutely get all that. Right. But the true identification of what money is, I believe, is only a means to the end. If the end is happiness, once you redefine the means, you have a new route to get to the end.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Pastor Augustine, I want to ask if you'll take time to pray for, in particular, the group Victor was just referring to, millennials, but actually anyone that may be listening that really needs to grasp the truths behind what you just shared, that because so many in life tend to think, well, if I have money, that's what I need. And, of course, it's really Christ, because correct. All other things flow from him. So would you pray for the millennials that may be listening, but anyone and everyone else that may be listening that is sensing that same need in their lives?
Absolutely, and thank you so much. Most gracious, most wonderful, and most perfect God, during this special season of Advent, where we focus on the blessing of joyful expectancy, the waiting for the arrival of Jesus the Christ, we come now with our hearts open, with our minds open, dear God, waiting on you.
Thank you.
We will wait on you, dear God, because you truly have proven time and time again that you will provide for our every need. We will wait on you, dear God, because we trust you, because you have always been there for us, dear God. We pray, dear God, that you will reorder our priorities, that you will allow our focus to be on you as a priority, dear God, and on other things secondarily. We recognize that through you we can do anything but fail. So, dear God, by putting our trust in you, by putting our confidence in you, and by allowing you to order our steps, our paths will be successful. It's been proven time and time and time again.
Thank you.
So I pray now, dear God, for anyone that's wrestling with issues, and especially during this time of Advent, you will open their hearts and their minds. I pray particularly for millennials, dear God, for a generation that may not have experienced the rough lessons of the past, things that brought people closer to you. But now, dear God, in this day and age of comfort, this day and age of iPhones, iPads, and emailing at me.com, dear God, please open us all up to realize that you are the reason for the season, and the joy is not in the material possession, but the joy is in Jesus.
Yes.
We love you, we praise you, we adore you. Amen.
Amen. You better preach.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Augustine. Appreciate that so much, too. And let me follow on the tail end of that. Along with those individuals that Pastor Augustine just prayed for, I want to invite, there may be someone who's listening who recognizes that maybe they've never made that all-important step of asking Christ into their lives, and they've been hearing about Christ at every Christmas and maybe through other means as well, but have never really made that step. And it's important for us to know the message behind Christmas is that God sent the Savior of the world into the world to bring salvation to a world that desperately needed to be saved. If you're listening and you want to make that step to commit your heart and your life to the Lord, Christmas time is a great time to get saved. It's a great time to come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ, a knowledge of God, and placing your life, your heart, all that you are into God's hands, because he's the only one that can save us and make us brand new. I want to invite you, if you would just simply pray this prayer along with me. Again, today is a good day to give your heart to the Lord. Would you pray it with me? And of course, if you're saved and just feel a need to pray it as a rededication prayer as you're listening, we invite you to do the same. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago on that first Christmas. You came, you grew up, you lived, and you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, Lord, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. I repent and I trust you to forgive me for all those wrongs. And right now, Lord, in a brand new way, I ask you, come into my heart, become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I now confess I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. 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 Let me say it to every person listening. If you just made that step, we want to invite you to please email us or give us a call. Again, that email is jparker@afa.net. We'd like to send some discipleship material to you to help you to really begin to grow in your faith. Or you can call this number, 662-321-5859. We'd really like to hear from you and touch base with you as well. So hope that we will hear from you. Let me remind you once again, if you wanted to win the prize that was mentioned, again, the question at Victory. Victory, give him the question one more time.
All right, let's see if you've been reading your Bible. Who was the individual who was made mute in the Christmas story in the Bible? Who was the individual who was made mute in the Christmas story?
All right, and again, to the first two responders, again, by way of email or by at that phone number, we'll get a copy of the movie Raggedy Bibles. Again, hope that you'll respond to us. Our phone guest today is Pastor Jay Augustine, the pastor of Historic St. James Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. And Pastor Augustine, we're about to come up on one more on the second break. But on the other side, I'm going to ask if you'll share with our listeners what have been some of the unique challenges and matters that you've dealt with as being a pastor in a city like New Orleans. Of course, New Orleans is unique in lots and lots of ways, yet it has many Absolutely. Similarities to other metropolitan areas. So we'll pick up on the other side of the break talking about that. Thanks again for Sounds being good. A part of our listening family. Again, if you're listening by way of, again, radio or iPhone or wherever means you're listening, we want to ask that you please pray for this ministry. Of course, the Holy Spirit uses radio, he uses TV, he uses different means of media to reach people. But our goal is to be as productive in the hands of the Holy Spirit as we can be. So we invite and encourage you to keep the ministry of Urban Family Radio in your prayers and pray specifically for the Hour of Intercession as well. And we hope that you're being encouraged to make prayer a bigger part of your life and your lifestyle as you listen in day by day. So thanks for joining us. And again, we'll be right back on the other side of this break.
Ooh. Listen to Stacey on the Right with Stacey Washington on Urban Family Talk. She's sharp.
I mean, did you hear that?
Pointed.
Remember that you're not only a Christian on Sunday.
And insightful.
Deception and lies have been accepted as the norm from the Democrats.
But most of all, she's on the right.
That scripture from the Bible that says the heart of the fool inclines to the left just kept popping into my mind.
It's Stacey on the Right. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on Urban Family Talk.
I'm Charmaine. If I could start my life over again, I would stay as far away from drugs as I could get. I came running to Teen Challenge, and it changed my life.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
The saying goes, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. Dr. Tony Evans says there's spiritual truth in that statement, and he'll tell us about it today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When we get in our cars, we get in our cars with a destination in mind. But along the way, on many occasions, we run into a detour, slowing you down from getting to where you want to go. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, God has a plan for your life. Part of experiencing your destiny is understanding your detours. When God told Israel he was going to take them to their destiny in Canaan, they had to cross the Red Sea. But when you read the scripture, he didn't take them directly to the Red Sea. He took them down south, brought them back up before he let them cross the Red Sea. Moses was on a detour for 40 years to the backside of the wilderness. The greatest apostle in the New Testament, Paul, was taken on a 3-year detour to a desert where God took him off of the front page, took him into a detour, then brought him back before he let him fulfill his purpose. So let me repeat. God has a destiny for you, a place he wants you to be, but you won't get there in a straight line. The purpose of detours is to develop you for the destiny God has for you while God is developing the destiny for when you arrive.
Check out the latest edition of our half-hour daily program and sign up for Dr. Evans' free weekly email devotional when you visit tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Let the night wind to the little lamb.
The music of Denise Williams, the song Do You Hear What I Hear. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm going to let Victory share one more time the question. If you still want to win a copy of the Bible movie Raggedy Bibles, send us the answer to the question. What is that question, Victory?
All right. It's not on who is Denise Williams. Never heard of her before, that singer. But the question is, who was the individual who was made mute in the Christmas story in the Bible? Again, who was the individual who was made mute? Have you been reading your Bibles like Pastor Parker have asked you? Who was made mute in the Christmas ask? I knew it was coming. And the who was made mute in the Christmas story?
All right. And again, at least the first two responders to the email or by way of text, jparker@afa.net, or the text 662-321-5859, and you'll get a copy of the DVD movie Raggedy Bibles. Hope you'll respond and give us the answer if you have it then, okay? Our phone guest is Pastor Jay Augustine. He's the pastor of Historic St. James Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. Pastor Augustine, as we pick up on this side of the break, would you pick up and share with us, in response to the question, what are some of the unique challenges, both your pastoral ministry and your legal ministry, that you've dealt with as you've served in the New Orleans community, New Orleans, Louisiana?
Sure. New Orleans, as you highlighted before the break, is unlike any other metropolitan area in the United States. It is completely a unique place. I'm a native of the city. I'm very proud of its uniqueness and very proud of its heritage, and it certainly does present some challenges when you're focused on pastoral ministry. I'll give you an example of that. The season just prior to Lent is a time called Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. So just prior to Lent, when I am trying to focus, and the church I happen to serve, it's a blessing. The church is right off Canal Street, which is probably next to Bourbon Street, the most popular street in the city, and it's probably the most traveled artery of commerce in the city. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful that there's foot traffic within just a few blocks of the church all the time, right? Mm-hmm. But the challenge is, of course, in the weeks leading up to Lent, worship services are oftentimes scarce because people literally cannot get to church because streets are closed off because of parades and so forth. Mm-hmm. So as a pastor, the last thing I'm probably thinking about is a parade, but I have to be very sensitive, of course, to members of my congregation whose, you know, children are in the marching bands that are in the parades and so forth, so on. And those mm-hmm. kind of things take priority, and take priority in people's lives, and I absolutely understand that. Mm-hmm. It presents challenges in terms of some of the focus of the city can be on parties, can be on revelry, and all of that has its place. All of that has its place. But as I try to put Christ first and try to put the church first, it oftentimes is a challenge when somebody's been out a little too late on Saturday night, mm-hmm. And that oftentimes makes them come to church a little late, particularly when they're in leadership roles and the like on Sunday morning. So it does present some challenges, but you can get past those things, obviously.
Right.
One thing I do want to share that I believe a glass is always half full. I'm a perpetual optimist. And my mother used to tell me as a child, if somebody gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Mm-hmm. So here's an example of a success story I want to share. And I'm optimistic, and I'm going to ask for your prayer for this, for the success of this pending event on tomorrow. New Orleans is a city where music is a huge focus. Mm-hmm. Again, sometimes on a Sunday you're trying to have a worship service. Hey, you didn't know it's the Jazz Fest going on this week. People are out listening to music. Hey, you didn't know it's the French Quarter Fest this week. People are out listening to music. Those sort of things can present challenges. We are in the need to do some significant restoration works and facelift work at the church. Mm-hmm. And I am so blessed in a city where people love music so much that Delfeo Marcellus, who's a member of the world-famous Marcellus family, mm-hmm. and the Uptown Jazz Orchestra are donating their time for a benefit concert, a Christmas benefit concert, with proceeds from the concert to be earmarked for restoration. That's going to be on tomorrow evening, Thursday, mm-hmm. the 22nd, December 22nd, 7 o'clock p.m. So I envision tomorrow, based on the response we've received from Facebook, from Twitter, from Instagram and social media, I envision tomorrow the church will be packed at standing room only. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy about that. I mean, that's really, really wonderful, but that's an example of using the gifts and the assets, some things that can sometimes be a challenge, mm-hmm. using them as an asset to help enhance ministry. So I do want to ask for your prayer for the success of this event tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the church, which is in downtown New Orleans. We're praying for God's blessing. We're praying for a financial blessing for the restoration we want to do on this historic landmark. We're praying for all of the musicians, for their families, and for a wonderful event where God's name will be glorified.
Okay. Okay. We're going to take time. Let's pray now. Okay. Father, thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity to lift this event up where Pastor Augustine is pastoring at St. James in New Orleans. And, Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you're giving them an event whereby they can both use it as a fundraiser but also an outreach event as well. Lord, anoint the event with a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing. Lord, draw many people. And Lord, I pray that you'd use it in such a way that any and all unsaved persons that may come to that will not leave that place before they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, let your spirit permeate the atmosphere of the place. Let your spirit permeate the atmosphere of the music. And Lord, just flow mightily through all that is said and done. And Lord, give Pastor Augustine vision, wisdom, and grace as he provides leadership to the St. James Church family in the New Orleans community. And Lord, send forth more laborers who will come alongside he and the St. James Church family to do the unique needs of outreach that are needed in the New Orleans community. Also, Father, raise up many more leaders and churches that recognize the great need to always be outreach-minded. The needs are so great in the world in which we live, and some of the needs are unique in a city like New Orleans. But Lord, help us to know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is more than able to help them rise to the occasion and rise and be what you want them to be. Lord, just give Pastor Augustine all the grace, the direction, and understanding he needs to be the pastor you've called him to be, and cause St. James to be the city set on a hill that you want it to be, not just for New Orleans, but for Louisiana, for our nation, for the world. Let its bright light shine brightly for your glory wherever it goes. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, Lord. Amen. Amen.
All righty. Well, okay, go ahead. Victor has a question.
Well, actually more of a statement. Pastor Jay, sir, you know, Jesus loves me and Pastor Parker. And this is Christmas. How about you give us a signed autograph of your book and mail it to us? I'm putting you on the spot here. You know, we gave you free publicity right there. You know, I just figured a free copy.
You got a deal.
All right.
The pleasure is all mine. You have a deal.
Okay.
Absolutely. The pleasure is all mine.
And it's spelled Victory, okay? You know how to spell it, though, because you're an attorney.
I got Victory. Okay. Victory in Jesus.
That's
Amen.
Our name
Victory
now.
Victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Okay,
Amen.
Pastor Brian,
did you have another question you wanted to ask Victor
I actually
before?
Did. Yes, sir. Real quick. Like, okay, so when you were an attorney, you were saved, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I grew up, I will share with you, I didn't talk much about my childhood. I grew up in church accepting Jesus as my Savior very, very early on in life. There was no hesitancy about that whatsoever. So I grew up as a Christian.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, my question is, when you were a full-time attorney, were there moments when the Lord presented you opportunities to share Christ? Because I'm, you know, we as Christians, this is our lifestyle, you know, and so we are to do it even in our job area. So, and if so, I think we got time. Could you tell like a brief incident where you did share Christ with someone?
Sure. I'll tell you two instances. I'm a big believer in a concept called secular evangelism.
Okay.
And by that, I mean, when we talk about Sunday morning, everybody's a holy roller. But I wonder how you act on Saturday night, right? That to me, that really lets me know if the rubber is meeting the road or if you're consistent with the actions, right? If I can see you on Saturday night, so to speak, or see you some other day of the week, see you in a non-church setting, that really lets me know if you're a Christian, because then you should be living the life and walking the walk that's commensurate with being a follower of Jesus. So I had two occasions come to mind, one in law school and one as a lawyer, where I really felt as though I did the Lord's work and I was able to evangelize as a result of that by the consistency of my actions. More often than not, the work I did was high-dollar work and very, very little personal feeling associated with it. But on two occasions, once in law school, when I was doing some pro bono work for a woman who was a victim of domestic violence and who was forced to leave her home, she was fighting bills and other things, trying to make ends meet. And I did some research and found some provisions in the code, Louisiana Civil Code, whereby her former spouse, or soon to be former spouse, had to assume some financial responsibility and take things off her, to lighten her load, so to speak. I'm being very generic deliberately with that. But because of that research and because of my meeting with this lady, her life was changed for the better at a time when she desperately needed it the most. And that's something that I will go to my grave and saying, God, thank you for using me in that way.
Mm-hmm.
There was another occasion where I had the opportunity. I did a lot of legislative work for a certain period of my career, legislative advocacy. Some people call the term a lobbyist, government relations work. I was working as a lobbyist once, and I had an opportunity to work in having a bill passed that truly, truly helped some people financially, that helped some people that needed it the absolute most. And they are people that would not have been able to afford the sort of professional services of the firm I was working with at any other time had it not been for this opportunity to do pro bono work. And because of the financial benefit that inured to them and the necessitous circumstances that they were operating under, I truly, truly, truly felt blessed at the Louisiana State Capitol when I was able to hug people and when they said, God bless you, thank you so much for all you've done, and to simply respond, God bless you too. We're all in this together. We're all the sons and daughters of the King. We're all in this together. The moments like that to me are absolutely priceless. So those are at least two occasions that come to mind in my heart where I really felt as though God's love was apparent in using me as a lawyer and losing the skill set that I had as an attorney.
Amen. Amen. And Pastor Augustine, of course, the term pro bono means you did it for free, right?
Did it for good. I did it for free. Absolutely.
That's right. That's
absolutely.
Right.
There was no charge associated with that. That has probably been the most rewarding. Those have been the most rewarding experiences, the ones where I did them out of the goodness of my heart and try to help somebody.
That's right.
More than for others. So absolutely.
All righty. Well, Pastor Augustine, our time is just about completely gone. I'm going to ask if you'll take the last 30 seconds. Would you just pray whatever's on your heart for our listeners as we close our time?
Hey, absolutely. Dear God, again, as we approach this Christmas season, please allow all within our listening voices to recognize, to realize, and to hold dear in their hearts that you and your darling son Jesus truly are the reason for the season. I pray, dear God, that the emphasis and the focus will be on you and that the joy we experience with others and the love that permeates our heart as a result of the love you pour into our hearts, dear God. So please let us not focus on materialistic things, but focus exclusively on you. These blessings and all others we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Augustine,
Thanks, Pastor, for being
with us today.
Thank you. The pleasure's been all mine to be with you. Thank you so very much.
All righty. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. As you listen and join us today, join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.